I always forget to start and stop those machines like that. Well, good evening, everyone. It's good to see everybody. I thought that was an awesome song, John. That's like exactly, we're going to be starting off in Joshua chapter 1, so seeing that song, that was directly from Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, and the words in it and stuff, I didn't even know we had a song. I like the supplement that we've got some of the songs that, I don't know, they're different. They're more, some of them I'd call them Florida College-y, if you know what I'm talking about. A lot of those songs seem like Florida College. They sing a lot of those. This evening, I want us to think about courage. And one of the most fitting examples of courage that we have in the Bible is Joshua, the son of Nun, the Ephraimite. So this evening, we're going to start. Can you tell I wrote this sermon for a Sunday morning? I keep on wanting to say Sunday morning with this sermon. We're going to start off looking at Joshua chapter 1. And in Joshua chapter 1, I'm just going to read verses 1 through 9. The book of Joshua, it starts off after the death of Moses and after the wilderness wanderings of the Israelites. And you remember, the Israelites, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and everyone that was 20 years older, 20 and plus age, they all died. They wasted away, except for, you know, there are some exceptions there. Joshua and Caleb were part of that exception. So we're going to read verses 1 through 9 of Joshua chapter 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness in this Lebanon, even unto the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. God speaks directly to Joshua here in these verses and repeats a version of the land promise that we're very familiar with that was originally given to Abraham, and most importantly puts Joshua in a type of leadership that's very military command of this undertaking, this crossing the Jordan and capturing all of this land. And whenever you look at Joshua, if you remember everything that Joshua did, if we have a brief knowledge of Joshua, Joshua was not a king. He wasn't a prophet. He wasn't a spiritual leader like Aaron was. He wasn't really even a leader like Moses was. And the best way that I can kind of put him in the small niche that there is, we see some of the judges that are like this, but he was a divine military commander of the Israelites. And in fact, the first time that we were even introduced to Joshua is back in Exodus chapter 17. And there, we're going to look back at that, we're going to look at that later. But just from there, that's the first time we see Joshua, and he was a military commander from the very beginning, the first time that we see him. So from his first appearance in Scripture, we know Joshua as a military commander in the Bible. So Joshua was also, if you remember, one of the spies that was sent into the land of Canaan. And that's usually the story that we cover the most, and one of the things that we focus on Joshua a whole lot. And he went along with Caleb. They were the two who brought out the good report from the land, and the other 10, of course, brought an evil report. And so the best description that I can really give of Joshua, if I had to give Joshua a description, is a divine military commander who was experienced in all things war, even spying. I mean, he was all things. And he was also a leader of the Israelites before he was this military commander. So go ahead and look back at Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9 with me, and just look at the verses as I go through them. I'm not going to reread all of them, but in verses 3 and 4, a very specific definition of how big the land promise was and what exactly the extent of the land they were going to be conquered is recorded for us. And I measured just from the wilderness south of the Dead Sea, which, you know, it's quite a large tract of land just right there, so I kind of picked the point where I thought, okay, this seems like the bottom of the wilderness here, as best as I could tell, and went all the way straight up north from that point to the bottom of the river Euphrates. That measurement was 350 miles approximately. I rounded up just a little bit. That's 350 miles from top to bottom. I know that doesn't sound like much, but imagine back in this day, especially the Israelites, they didn't have horses and whatnot. They were pretty limited in their methods of traveling. 350 miles of a tract of land, just top to bottom. If you were to walk maybe 20-minute mile. Yeah, that seems like a pretty good march. I don't know, Alan or somebody in military could probably give me a better understanding of that. I should have looked that up. But 20-minute mile seems like a pretty good walk for an entire, you know, a huge group of people. Maybe that's pretty fast, or maybe it's slow. But at a 20-minute mile, walking 350 miles would take you 120 hours, okay, approximately. If you were to walk 10 hours a day, that would mean, excluding the Sabbath, of course, because you're not going to walk then, it would take you 2 weeks or 12 days worth of walking, 10 hours a day, to walk 350 miles, top to bottom. That's just going from bottom to top of this promised land. Right? That's not zigzagging between all the cities. That's not conquering. That's just walking. That's 2 weeks worth of walking, just from bottom to top. So I know it may seem like a small amount of land, and even whenever we look at it on a map, you know, the United States, we're so huge. The Middle East and those countries, they're so small in the way that they're set up and everything. It just looks small. But it's really a huge tract of land, especially for a people that has no modern method of traveling or even horses at this point in time. They're pretty limited. That's a lot of conquering to do, too, because they're really limited in their resources. And in fact, the Israelites during this time period, like I said, they don't have horses. They don't have chariots. We find that out from some other scriptures. They don't have chariots. They're very limited in their weapons of war. Probably what they have in terms of weapons of war came from the Amalekites and Amorites that they fought while they were wilderness wandering. They're very limited in terms, they don't have siege weapons or any of these things. And yet with all of these military just situations that seem like it would be very hard to do anything or conquer with all of those types of limitations, they're going to push into Canaan and cross the Jordan. And the first city they're going to start out with is, of course, Jericho, this heavily fortified city with 6-foot-thick walls and 26-foot-high walls. They're huge walls, one of the most heavily fortified cities in Canaan. And they're not only just going to start out with Jericho, one of the most heavily fortified cities, they're going to conquer the entire land, this 350 miles top to bottom, a huge amount of land. I didn't figure out the square mileage because it's hard for me to exact, but it's a huge amount of land. They conquered it all in just 7 years, for the most part. Of course, there are pieces they didn't exactly fulfill God's word completely. We know some of that story. They conquered the majority of it in 7 years, without very much military prowess, and throughout the entire thing, just building a military like you would have to conquer that amount of land would have taken a couple years, and yet they go right into it. And in Joshua chapter 1, verses 1 through 9, Joshua is told to be strong and courageous 3 times by the Lord. And then in verse 7, the Lord says, "Only be thou strong and very courageous." So not only is Joshua being told to be strong and courageous, he's saying, the Lord is saying to Joshua, it's the only thing you should be putting your energy into. Only be thou strong and very courageous. And looking at Joshua's military dominance, as you go through the book of Joshua, and as we read some of the things, and we'll touch on some of those here in just a second, his military prowess and just the you would think that he would be this master tactician and be extremely strong in terms of military strength. But consider what the Lord is asking Joshua to do, according to verses 7 and 8 of Joshua chapter 1. So read those with me once again. "Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." So Joshua is told to only be strong and courageous so that he might obey God's law, meditate on it day and night, and obey it, so that he can be successful. And I find that's kind of strange. Does that not sound like something obeying, just being strong and courageous so that you can meditate on God's law, and by meditating on God's law and obeying it, those kinds of concepts, the things that Joshua is being told, that sounds like something that maybe a priest would be involved in, maybe a Levite for that matter. It sounds like something that somebody other than a military commander would be told to be focusing on. So how is being strong and courageous, how is that a prerequisite and necessity to following God's law and meditating on it and obeying it day and night? So I think we're definitely dealing with sort of a twofold meeting in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1. In verses 7 and 8, really. First, as a military commander and leader of the Israelites, just think about this. He's just about to push into the land of Canaan and come up to the walls of Jericho. He's going to fight, as we sang in that song, he's going to fight some extremely wicked, idolatrous, and very strong cities. They were not united cities in any way in the land of Canaan, but they are very strong individually. Very strong. In fact, it seems almost impossible without a military base to be able to take a place like Jericho or even to push anywhere into the land of Canaan. So, of all people, don't you think Joshua would have needed to have strength and courage? Because I can only imagine that the people, the Israelites, they're probably going to reach some places, and we see places where there's going to be doubt and there are going to be problems with their faith. And I would expect that if anybody else is supposed to have strength and courage, Joshua is told to have strength and courage because he's going to be the one leading the people into these seemingly impossible battles, seemingly impossible situations to come out on top of. So he's going to have to be strong and courageous. And catch a key point there that's being made. The second meaning is that whenever we lack properly placed strength and courage, whenever we lack properly placed strength and courage, we leave room for doubt and a lack of faith. And that's really one of the major points. And it's very conventional wisdom, but I'm not a super strong guy, but somebody who's strong going into a fight with a guy that they know is weaker than them can have courage because they know within themselves they're stronger than the other person, right? And if you're going to go into a fight with somebody you know is weaker than you and that you know you can beat, you can have courage in self. But whenever you are the weaker man going into a battle, going into a fight, you can't have strength and courage just because of, my gusto or anything. The courage doesn't come from within. You can either cower or have courage through something else. You can have courage through faith or maybe hope. We'd bring in hope in there. But the difference is that the man who knows that his strength is less than his enemy's strength, the man who knows that must look outside of himself for purpose and reason to go up against his enemy unless he's just simply a fool and wants to get destroyed, right? Joshua had strength and courage through faith developed by obeying and meditating on God's law. And the point is that if you want perfect and true strength and courage, if you want perfect and true strength and courage, it doesn't come from physical power. That's not the point that God is making at all to Joshua. It doesn't come from physical power. Today, just as it was in Joshua's day, when God's people were physically carrying out the word and will of God by the edge of a sword, perfect and true strength and courage comes through a faith developed by obeying and meditating on God's word. When you are subject to God, there's no higher power that you can be subject to. There's nothing more that you can answer to. And that's really the point. You can look outside of yourself for that kind of courage. And the purpose is that in reason Joshua saw to go into battles, the reason that he went into these battles and saw the purpose to go into these battles is not because he looked at his formidable army of Israelites by any means whatsoever. He didn't go, we can take this easily. In fact, most of the time whenever they do that, what ends up happening? They end up meeting themselves at a terrible end, even whenever they just took a census of the people. And, you know, we could go on and on about strength does not come from numbers. Whenever it came to God's people, it wasn't in terms of numbers and military power. It wasn't at all. And that point is being reiterated to Joshua. The point is that true strength, this perfected strength and courage, comes from meditating and obeying God's word. So look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 5 with me again, because Joshua is given a promise that's really truly quite unique. And it's amazing, and it's going to be the result of this strength and courage through faith. Verse 5, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee." No man will be able to stand before Joshua all the days of his life. Well, that shouldn't give you strength and courage. What should? Right? It's kind of an amazing promise. God directly tells Joshua that no man's going to be able to come against you. Of course, the catch to that is that he's got to continue in God's word for that to hold true. But this is definitely a physical blessing and promise to Joshua. Joshua is to only have strength and courage through faith, and as a result, God would protect him and guide him even throughout these impossible seemingly battles and cause him to be victorious. And I look through it, and throughout the 25 to 30 years that Joshua, depending on how you're counting, your reign that Joshua had as a military commander over the Israelites. Throughout 25 to 30 years and throughout 13 major battles that he had with different peoples of the Canaanite land that it seems like he's very directly involved with, throughout all of that, I couldn't find a single time where Joshua is recorded in any way, shape, or form being wounded. 13 major battles, 25 to 30 years worth of military career. That's pretty amazing. And in fact, we see Joshua later on, he dies of old age at 110. Not from a military scar, not from something that happened to him a long time ago. This is from old age at 110. This is pretty amazing. So we definitely see verse 5 plays out throughout Joshua's life. No man was able to stand before Joshua. And prior to Joshua actually being told all of these things at the beginning of Joshua chapter 1, it was told to him in a bit different of a manner by Moses. So go ahead and turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 31. This is what I had Sid read for us, verse 6 of this. But we're going to read verses 1 through 8. So look at Deuteronomy chapter 31, and we're going to be reading verses 1 through 8. And Moses went and spake these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. I can no more go out and come in. And also the Lord hath said unto me, thou shalt not go over this Jordan. The Lord thy God, he will go over before thee, and he will destroy these nations from before thee, and thou shalt possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before thee, as the Lord hath said. And the Lord shall do unto them as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and of the land of them whom he destroyed. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that ye may do unto them according to unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, Be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Did you notice what was different about Moses' message whenever he's saying basically what's saying in Joshua chapter 1? Did you notice what was different from Joshua chapter 1? The message of be strong and courageous, that message, which is repeated three times to Joshua, it's repeated directly to the Israelites, to all the Israelites, by Moses in verse 6. But to all the Israelites, we see that in verse 6. I'll read it again. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. So all Israel was to reflect this very character and priority that Joshua was supposed to have. And Moses prophetically, even whenever we look back, something that's amazing, Moses prophetically renames Joshua before Joshua goes into the land of Canaan. So look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 16 with me. Because Joshua's been chosen as an Ephraimite to represent the tribe of Ephraim to go in and spy the land of Canaan. And he's the son of Nun. We see him chosen as this spy. And he's renamed. And the reason he's renamed is it's very significant. So Numbers chapter 13, verse 16. These are the names of the men which Moses sent out to spy the land. And Moses called Oshea, the son of Nun, Jehoshua, or Joshua. So Oshea, Joshua's first name, right? It means salvation or deliverer. So it basically, it has the idea of I am salvation or I am deliverer. Before going to the land of Canaan, Moses renames him, and I can only imagine that it's prophetically. Joshua is renamed to Joshua, which means the Lord is salvation, or the Lord is my deliverer. So he goes, how fitting is that? For the divine military commander of the people of Israel, before he goes even on this first military excursion as spying into the land of Canaan, before he does that, he is renamed in such a way that instead of salvation being of his own, or deliverance being of his own, his name now means salvation and deliverance is of God. I think that's very significant. And of course, Joshua is also the Hebrew form of the Greek name Jesus. So we could get into some really cool stuff and some interesting meanings and really start to look at some types and anti-types of the Old Testament. But instead of going that direction, just go ahead and look over at Exodus chapter 17 with me. Because as I mentioned earlier, this is the first time that we see Joshua. And this is right after they come out of Egypt. And, of course, there are plenty of nations, as you can imagine, coming out of Egypt as great as a host they were that saw them as threats and other things. They wanted to take advantage of them, so on and so forth. So in Exodus chapter 17, We see the Amalekites coming against them. So I'm going to read verses 8 through 13. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. So during his first military command, the very first military command that we see Joshua having, he didn't really do anything to control the tide of the battle. I mean, he picked men, but he definitely had nothing to do with how the battle was going. And we're told that directly. It had everything to do with Moses trivially holding up his hands in the air with the rod of God in his hand. Right? It seems almost strange to us. But there's a really hard and deep meaning that the Israelites are going to need to get very, very well from this start of military conquering, all this military excursions that they're going to have to do in the land of Canaan. They're going to have to get something. This is the first time that we see them. They're really going to have to get who is in power. What is causing them to win these battles? Is it just trivially Moses holding up their hands in the air? And I think that sounds strange at first, but there's a hard truth there. But before I cover that, think about whenever we're baptized, kind of a 180. I know I'm going in a different direction really, really quickly. Whenever we're baptized and follow Christ, our name, in essence, is changed just as Joshua's was, is it not? We have submitted to a salvation through Christ, by faith in the grace and mercy of God. And we have put on the name of Christ. Literally, we've put on the name of Christ, knowing that salvation is not by our own power. We must stand in strength and courage, knowing that we have ultimate confidence and power in God as long as we meditate and follow His Word. And that's pretty much exactly the situation with Joshua. We know that Joshua could have ultimate confidence and power as long as he had faith in God and was meditating and obeying on God's law, on His Word. And as a Christian, we face all sorts of temptations and trials that many times remind us just how weak and powerless we are. And we have to remain strong and confident and continue the fight. We have to remind ourselves that God alone is in control, no matter what happens. But had the Israelites, just think about this, had the Israelites from the start of the battle known that Moses' hands being held in the air was what would change the tide of that battle, do you not think they would have immediately been holding his hands up in the air? I think you see a progression. It's almost as if Moses is on top of this hill and everybody's looking to him for some sort of guidance. I can only imagine being, you know, seeing the leader of the people on top of the hill and you're fighting a battle and looking at the leader, maybe looking for direction, and you notice that you're completely losing whenever his hands drop, and you're doing great whenever his hands are up. I don't know at what point they put it together or how they put it together, but somehow they put it together and had Moses set on a rock and then held his hands up. It seems absolutely strange. There's something very defining about that because it taught Israelites and Joshua early on, the first time that they're going into battle, it taught them early on before moving on to conquering the 6-foot-thick, 26-foot-high walls of Jericho by marching and blowing trumpets that power, this power that would allow them to actually conquer the land, was not of their own. It was not of their own whatsoever. And God's word and will is never trivial. Even whenever God was telling them, I'm sure if they had not had some of those experiences, God's word and will, I'm sure, would have seemed a lot more trivial to them whenever it came to this military conquering. Had they not had, especially whenever God tells them to march around the city blowing trumpets with a guard in front, carrying the ark. That seems very trivial and silly. But they had some experiences to go off of, didn't they? Well, they won a battle because Moses' hands were held in the air with the rod of God. I can only imagine this is like the first time that the Israelites are being exposed to this, and really they're starting to get it. Salvation is not of our own power. And that's really the point. Salvation is not of our own power. It wasn't of their power. So if anyone this evening desires to change their name and put on salvation in Christ's name, or if there's anyone here that needs the prayers of the saints to remain strong and courageous, let that need be made known together as we stand and sing.